1 Corinthians chapter 9. As we continue our studies in that book, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll consider verses 1 and 2 tonight, and the subject is marks of the apostles. We are thinking through the passage, and our subject is marks of the apostles. And that before we come to that, in the previous chapter, remember Apostle Paul exhorted the church at Corinth to the practice of self-denial for the edification of one another. And in that, he reminded them that it's the Church of Jesus Christ. In the Church of Jesus Christ, all things are to be done with selflessness and love. He used various words to exhort them to that they should not, others were acting carelessly concerning eating of things offered to idols and which were hurting others in the church. He told them to think of how the church should be. That he said that if meat should be a hindrance to his brother's faith, he will never eat meat while the earth still exists. So it tells us how he wants us as believers to always be reflecting on how we act and all that we do in emulating the selfless love of our dear Savior, who for the sake of our salvation, he went to the cross of Calvary to suffer all the pain and the sufferings and the punishment even to death, so that we might be saved through him. That his blood will cleanse us from all of our sins, and we'll have the blessings of his redemption, the new birth, be brought into the among the children of God. Our names, those of us who are saved, our names will be written in heaven. We have such a glorious hope. And so this reminds us to always be thinking of how we ought to be and in what manner we ought to act. So these were the thinking there. So in this chapter, he will continue with the same thing, but then he will show by his own example of self-denial for the sake of the gospel ministry. So that would be the thinking here. And then he will touch on other matters there which are useful to us. But then for him to make these examples effective, he also will affirm and defend his office as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you look at his letters, it seems there were some who were trying to discredit him as an apostle at Corinth. And verse 3 of chapter 9, he says that my answer to them that do examine me is this. Then he moves on and he speaks about the liberty they have and what they have left, so that the gospel have its purpose. So tonight, we will not touch on this subject as his example of self-denial. We think, as I said, his words in verse 1 and 2, and that in thinking that, we'll remind ourselves the marks of the apostles. Apostle Paul tried to affirm his office as an apostle, and he tried to tell them about that. So we'll think about that. And next week, we'll continue the rest of the verses where we'll look at the various things he said about his liberty and how he denied himself of such privileges even as an apostle. So I begin with verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? The woman that I was supposed to speak is kind of rhetorical. He asked these questions which doesn't need to be answered. It's like affirming, I am an apostle. I am free. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. You are my work in the Lord. Because that's the thinking here. But in this way of speaking, he's trying to highlight his work as an apostle, the apostolic office that he holds. And as well, he will try to also show how by his own voluntary choice he would go. He let his privileges. He didn't try to tax them. I mean, so that he benefit his work as an apostle, as also as a servant of Christ. Because you, as I said, when he goes on, he will try to prove to them and tell them that he has many privileges which he left for the sake of the gospel. So he tells them, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free?" Well, if you don't take it, you say that he's speaking out of pride. But it's not pride at all. He's not speaking out of pride. But then he's trying to show them that he had the same privileges like the other apostles of the Lord. In verse 4 and 6, look at what he says. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? See, they had they were free to do all these things, but they denied themselves, and he as an apostle voluntarily denied himself of them for the sake of the gospel. Why? Because he was considering the circumstances that he was in at Corinth. He had the privilege or the liberty to act in the same way where the church was supporting and where he can have been raised a family along the line as he was there to have a as he tells us. But then, as he goes on, he tell us that he didn't use all this liberty. He didn't, enjoy them. He voluntarily denied himself of them. And it's because of the circumstance that he was in. He wanted to act that way so that the gospel will have its record. Probably, he saw that at Corinth, people maybe think that, well, it was for just after the money, or he was taking advantage of the churches. No, but he wanted to let them realize that he's there supposedly for the gospel, so that the gospel will be taught to them, and they will come to the saving knowledge of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the words of Apostle Paul here, his attitude reminds us that a Christian's choices and acts are not about self. At all times, our choices, how our decisions we make, and the things we want to do should not be about self, but should be that which honors the Lord and prosper his gospel. See, that which honors the Lord and prosper the gospel. So that at all times, if I am deciding on life choices and how I'm planning my life, if I'm a Christian, if I am one of those that the Lord has saved, if we have tasted the blessings of Calvary, that we have tasted that Christ has suffered and died for us, he gave himself for us, we ought to give ourselves to him, and for his honor and for his gospel. And this will always help to control how we decide about things and the things we want to do. Again, this kind of thinking, Christian mindset, affects how a Christian uses its opportunities and advantages. The advantages that come to my life, why would I want to use them and enjoy them? The honor of the Lord and the prosperity of his gospel should come to my mind. And that alone should show me how I might use these opportunities. See, and also, the Christian's time and resources. The time I have, well, you know, we all don't have many years to live. We don't know how, if you say years, days to live. We don't know how many days we have. And a Christian thinks through, and that I am saved, the Lord has saved me. One day I may leave this world, and everything that I have and I am, and I have to spend my time and all that I have for the honor of our dear Savior. So this challenges us. We have the liberty to use our time and resources, but the Christian thinks, no, as Apostle Paul is thinking, through this chapter, I must use them for the Lord. And also, the gifts and abilities that we have, whether natural talent or what the Lord has blessed us with, it must be used for His honor. We are free to use it as we please. Those things that are given to us freely, many opportunities, they may not be seen. For instance, I have a leisure time, I may use it to pursue some games, whatever, but I'm a Christian. Do I just use all my leisure time to pursue this thing for my own entertainment? No. I have to engage myself with the work of the Lord. I have to give myself to the ministry, whatever help I can, so that the gospel will go forth. So that I don't just spend my quote-unquote free time on my own self and enjoy my time. No. The world think of leisure. They think to just have the time for themselves. No, but the Christian, no. Apostle said he is free. We are also free to use these leisures for sinless things that are not sinful, but do we really want to enjoy them for ourselves? So the Lord always grants us wisdom so that we may always use our liberties for His honor and the gospels. Again, I read to you, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So another part of this verse, have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? As again, Apostle Paul trying to affirm his apostolic office to them. And his word here needs our attention. Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? And he's trying to speak to us or tell them one of the marks of the apostles. Have I not seen the Lord? This is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because to be an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ was a unique mark of the apostolic office. To be called an apostle in the church of Jesus Christ, we know that this, some people use this term loosely and thinking that, I'll come to that and explain. But then here, he's thinking of his office as an apostle. And one of the things that marks him out was that he has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And this unique mark of the apostolic office, we have reference here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I would like us to read, just refresh our minds on these things. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 to 26. Here it was when the apostles wanted to replace Judas, because Judas was gone out of the 12 after he betrayed the Lord, that he murdered himself. And these are the words of Apostle Peter concerning this. And he says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us. Look at the words numbered with us wasn't the entire disciples, but there's that specific 12 that the Lord Jesus Christ chose. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry, not even that 70 that the Lord Jesus Christ chose, but the 12. Now this man pitches a field with the rod of iniquity, and falling headlong, he tells us to death. And I'll move on. Verse 21. Wherefore of this men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, that we were with the Lord going and coming in all his ministry, they were with him. That's what he's trying to refer to. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken out from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us for his resurrection. Why was there specific ordination of one to be among them, to be a witness of his resurrection? And then we are told they went on and they went on a process to choose, and that we are told in verse 25 that he may take part of his of this ministry and apostleship. Look at what he says, this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave for their Lord, and the Lord fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So here, somebody who was an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even his resurrection, was an eyewitness. So this was a unique mark, one who was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has witnessed his ministry, and also after his resurrection, he has seen him. And I read to you also Acts chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Here again, these are the words of Apostle Peter. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Speaking about the work of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So here Peter refers specifically to their work as apostles. And he said they were with the Lord, they saw his word, and then after, men were chosen to be witnesses of these things. So, as the apostles were having this kind of qualification on them, there should be those who have seen the Lord Jesus Christ physically, and who have also have that witness of his work. And again, those who were given that specific appointment. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ appointed 70, and there were so many disciples, but then Peter here speaks of this specific office of the apostles, which when one was taken out, there should be a replacement. Not the church members, not any officers, but the apostles, not the any other, but the apostles. Here, Apostle Paul, we know that was not part of this group initially, but we are taught in scripture that Apostle Paul had a miraculous experience of this witness of Christ. We have his here in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. And I read you. I'm taking my time to read this so that we'll just refresh our mind, not just say and talk about them. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the church, again the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and just desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is the Christians, whether they were men or women, might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes, his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, this is directly encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, look at the task that was given to him. But the Lord said unto him, that this was a man, Ananias, was a Christian, was called to go and help Apostle Paul, and that this was the verses. And the Lord said unto him, that is Ananias, go thy way, for Ananias tried to tell the Lord that this man was persecuting the churches, so he didn't understand why God should send him to such a man. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for it's a chosen vessel, look at the word, unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So here is a specific appointment by Christ himself, bringing Apostle Paul to be part of his apostles, and to be part of that work. And look, Apostle Paul also said about himself having a witness of Christ when he rose up from the dead, from these visions. And we have in reaching 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 to 9. Speaking about those who have seen the Lord, he said, at last of all, he was seen of me also. Here's Apostle Paul. as one born out of the due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So you see, Apostle Paul testifying of his eyewitness of the Savior, having that direct encounter with him. And this was a miraculous experience. He wasn't part of the initial apostles, but the Lord called him specifically so that he would be part, he would be numbered among the apostles. So, when he says, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" That's what it means. You see, while he was on earth, he didn't, but then through this miraculous experience, he had encounter with the Savior and received a direct commission from him to be an apostle of his. So let's remember that this unique mark of the apostolic office disqualifies all who claim to be successors of apostles of Christ today. Who claims to be an apostle today who have seen the Lord Jesus Christ? There's none. None. Even after the apostles were gone, the disciples have seen, the Lord Jesus did not appoint any apostles again after them. They were given specific appointments. They were ordained. Look at the word that Peter used. Not to be a Christian, not to be anything, but to be an apostle. Ordaining materials. You see? So there was this, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" This is what he means. He's not just saying anything, but he meant that he has had direct encounter with him. So that, as I said, those who claim to be successors of the apostles of Christ today, they are disqualified. By scriptural standard, just this sign, they are disqualified, they don't have that. Well, they sometimes speak about the Greek word that was translated as apostle, which is apostolos, and it means an ambassador, a delegate, a messenger. It can be used simply as such, and it can be used as that in other portions of scripture. The words messenger and others are meant the same as apostolos. But when it is technically applied to the officers in the church who were specifically commissioned by Christ, called apostles, then it is restricted. It is given to only those who were commissioned. You know, if you call yourself an apostle, nobody cares. But if you claim that you're also an apostle like this who were commissioned by Christ, that's where the problem comes. Because the office of the apostles were given specifically to these men, because they had a specific task to do for the Lord, which none of us, nobody who claimed the apostle, is able to do that. So here, the word, so often when they speak about this, the word apostle is a gift which the church will have and all that. But how was this supposed to, how was their work, and what were the qualifications? Again, it's about like how some people say, well, when we think of the word pastor and other people, they say, oh, women can be pastors and other things. And I sometimes ask some of my friends, yes, you think that, but they will say that, well, the pastor Apostle Paul said women should be pastors, and Apostle Paul wasn't, something that wasn't so much inspired, and for Apostle Paul didn't like women. Then I asked them, so the office of pastor, who by inspiration, who had it? It was Apostle Paul. It was his writing that we have these offices in the church. A pastor, now you claim that you are a pastor, but then you don't want to abide by the qualification of a pastor, you see? So I asked them, so why you claim that the gift or the office of a pastor was by revelation given to Apostle Paul in most of his writings, but then you don't want to obey the instructions how you can be a pastor? See? They want to have the office, but they don't care, the rules around it. Again, it comes with all those things that they do. But then, as I said, these apostles, the officers, the Church of Jesus Christ, they were specially commissioned by Christ. And one of their tasks was to establish the New Testament Church with inspired teachings and practices. You see, they were to establish the New Testament Church directly with inspired teachings and practices. That's one thing that many of the who claim to be apostles don't know. These were given a direct teachings which were to be grounded firm for all time for the churches at all time. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, you mean how Apostle Paul speaks of the Ephesian church being established on this foundation and he speaks of it in Ephesians 2:19-20. He tells them, after speaking about how they have been brought to God, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, the church of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So his apostles, here this one, the truth, the teachings, the practice, the instructions for the church. The apostles' instructions. So somebody claims to be an apostle today, where does he fix himself in this? The church is built over the truth, the instructions for the church, the doctrines are already given. We know there's no additional, revelation given. So obviously, if somebody claims to be an apostle, is he part of this apostle? Where do we place him in the church? So, and also, one unique aspect of the apostles that they were filled with extraordinary gifts of the Spirit, which that happened with many signs, to do many signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And these are recorded for us to read them in Scripture. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14-20, the Lord promised this to them, that these signs will follow them. I think the person asked about this charismatic thing, but he knows that believe what they think, that the spiritual gifts should continue. Well, it's sometimes how they don't seem to ground it on Scripture. They still pick one word here, two words here. But then I sat him down, we opened to this part, we went verse by verse. And then initially he thought, well, the promise was for believers. And I said, we should take our time and let's go through. And then I said that every believer should have, should be able to heal and take or drink poison, not die. And he said, because maybe some are not believers. I said, has he ever seen anybody doing it as a believer? And then we went back and we tried to, but, well, he didn't say anything again. But I tried to tell him that this were given to the apostles. And Apostle Paul himself said, the signs of an apostle were demonstrated among the Corinthians. And he wasn't just saying that, the work of any apostle, the one commissioned by Christ for that work. So they were given extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. And many people claim that these gifts should continue the church, but they forget that it was in the circles of the apostles, the era of the apostles. When their time went, it went to them. But people will not agree. They think that it should continue, and that the many, many errors that we have today among them. But we are thinking of the signs of the apostles. Again, I read to you, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And know ye my work in the Lord. So, he says, I know ye my work in the Lord. So this is also a reminder to the Corinthian church of Apostle Paul's instrumentality in their conversion to Christ. He preached, he was the first to preach the gospel at Corinth. He was the first to labor with Barnabas and others to labor there. And through the preaching, the Lord saved these believers at Corinth and to form them a church. And that the believers that were saved there was a sign of God's blessing on the ministry of the apostles, especially Apostle Paul's work at Corinth. That through the preaching of the word, the gospel, some were saved. So they are his work, meaning that he was an instrumental to their conversion. He preached the gospel. The Lord enabled him to preach, and the Lord converted as many as he would bring to himself. So he reminded them, before anyone came to preach there, it was through me that you heard the gospel. And this was in connection with my work as an apostle, that I was sent to preach the gospel, and that through the Lord will build his church. The gospel, people hearing that good news, God has sent his Holy Begotten Son to the world because he loved that sinners will return to him, that come to have that free forgiveness from him. That this message that Christ sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary, so that all who look up to him and trust him are brought out from the condemnation of sin, taken out from the curse of sin, and brought into the family of God. This message of the gospel, Apostle Paul, the one who preaches first at Corinth, he took the message there and labored there for about 2 years, so that this gospel will have its recourse. And so he reminds them, are you not my work in the Lord? And again, this also reminds us that, by extension, conversions are proofs of true gospel ministry. If the gospel is preached by faith, we trust in the Lord by and by will bring many to himself. If the church doesn't preach the gospel, how can God save people? God saves. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Without the gospel, there will be no salvation. God saves us through his word. His spirit will work in our hearts, but we must hear that good news for our dear Lord and Savior and his suffering for needy sinners on the cross of Calvary. So are you not my work in the Lord? This also is a reminder, the word work here has to be toil labor, to remind them that he toiled to feed the gospel to them so that they will be established as a church. So that if ever others there try to challenge him as an apostle, he has to labor to preach this gospel to them, to establish them as a church. And he also reminded them that his work as a minister of the word was not an easy job. That they will just say, well, maybe he wasn't the genuine one. You were saved, you have been converted into the family of God because of this gospel. We are my work in the Lord. We tell them. Verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. It's like he's telling them, if other churches do not witness my work as an apostle, as for you, you have. Because I preached, I demonstrated that the Lord worked along with various miracles, and mighty works, and there was so much demonstration that the Lord was with him, and amazing that they were converted. Their hearts were changed, and among the people at Corinth, they were saved to be with the Lord. So you people, you are a witness. You people, you have tasted of this work that the Lord did through me. He said a similar thing about his apostolic work also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Look at how he refers to the signs of an apostle. With wonders and mighty deeds. The apostles were given these miraculous abilities to demonstrate. I'm sure when we read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we witness some of these records, and it informs us that special gift to the apostles, and it was something to indicate their word, the Lord was with them. And again, he tells them that doubtless I am to you. If others seem to doubt who am I, despite seeing you people coming to the faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being formed as a church. Mind you, tell them, if I be not an apostle unto others, I am to you. I came to do my work among you. And he says, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Meaning that how the Lord made them new creatures and saved them, gave them a new nature, regenerated them by his work, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And this was done through his preaching. And Jesus authenticated his apostolic work among them because they were given this commission by the Lord to go out to do this, and that those who believe and baptize, the Lord will save them. So, as this was done, it showed that the Lord was with Apostle Paul. So, he reasoned out with them that they should look for this evidence of his apostleship in their own conversion. You see, some are doubting me, that's what I'm saying, but look at the work. Look at my work as an apostle in your own selves, the conversion, the new creature that you came today in Christ, that Christ made you anew and formed you as a church for his people to be his representative in the earth, and so that you be part of God's church, you be part of those that the Lord has changed to be his. So the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. But it's something that, why would they cause Apostle Paul to really try to affirm to them his apostleship? It's sad, but then that's how these things went over there. That some were challenging him as an apostle, but then the Lord demonstrated that he was an apostle because all the signs of the apostles were given to him, and that he, by the mercy, by the grace of God, he said that by the mercy of the grace of God, he did so much of the work of the apostles. He did chapter 15 when we read it. He did so much, but the Lord gave him the grace to be able to do so. And but then this church, or the church at Corinth, some were doubting Paul's authority as an apostle, and they were doubting how he has imposed himself upon the church. As what he taught and what his manners were the same like the apostle, because he was given the same thing. Okay, so before we come to conclusion, this is unusual question about the apostles. I mean, some those who say that the apostles, they should be a continuation of the apostolic office, and the churches should have apostles. So the churches that do have apostles have taken out some of the spiritual gifts so that they have limited Christ, so they say. So they say, if none is qualified as an apostle in our time, then the Church of Jesus Christ is lacking one of the offices which he himself has established. They accuse those who believe that, and us also who believe that the apostles are no more, and that their office is no more because the Bible teaches so. So we answer them this way, that the scripture teaching, as we have seen some here, the teaching of scripture or the qualifications for the apostolic office, it teaches that it is not supposed to be a continuous one, because those who were eyewitness of Christ, how many years were they going to live after a point they were all gone, so that and also that specific instruction given to them, the authority given to them, nobody has that. And so though they died and gone, and those extraordinary gifts they were given, nobody has that. They've died and gone, but then their inspired teachings and practical instructions laid down still binding on the churches. So the churches are now benefiting from their work, but their persons are no more. So though that's how we look at the work of the apostles. You see, because we have pastor teachers and other offices, deacons in the church, but then the work of the apostles are no more because their persons, they've died and gone, but their work is for the church is built upon, because they lead Christ, as Apostle Paul spoke about in the early 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They lay down Christ, and for Christ wants his church to be. And that all churches that will uphold to the instructions are churches that will be built on Christ. Are churches that will be built on the work of the apostles. Are churches that have the benefit of the work of the apostles. So we are benefiting from their work. We are benefiting from their labors. But their persons are no more, and there is no succession to the apostolic office. So these are the things we are thinking about. And as I said, Apostle Paul said this thing to let them realize, the church at Corinth realize how it is important to live in a way that we don't just think of we are free to live as we please, but then our life, or as I said, our choices, our actions should be to the honor of Christ and his gospel. Because next we see how he told them how he has to deny himself of many of these things that he's free to enjoy because the gospel, because of the honor of the gospel. And that should be the thing that should shape our thinking. Whatever we do, will it honor Christ? Yes, I may enjoy life and do well, have a family, but am I having that mindset that though I raise a family, though I'm working, I want to, in this, have the opportunity to serve the Lord? Now these things will be a hindrance to me, that even if I have resources, whatever time I have, it should rather be used so that at the end, the benefits will be to the promotion, the gospel, not just for myself and for my personal pleasures alone. So may the Lord help us as we think through these things.